the Rise Up See Red podcast, all about the Arizona Cardinals and the NFL, featuring insider and outsider perspectives. Enjoy the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Now here are your hosts, Jess Root and Seth Cox.
Hello, Arizona Cardinals fans, and welcome to the latest edition of the Rise Up See Red podcast, Best Hour of Cardinals Talk on the web. I'm your host, Jess Root from CardsWire.com, the USA Today NFL wire site that covers, your Arizona Cardinals as we are in Week 13. This is the first of hopefully two preview shows, episode 619. This is our opponent preview. Vikings Wire managing editor Andrew Harbaugh, who we had on the show several months ago when we were before the season, when I had our yearly opponents preview. Andrew, welcome to the show again. Thanks for taking some time just before the holidays. It's going to get crazy over the next couple of days, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. And for anyone that did listen in the summer knows how smart I am and good I am with the predictions. And anyone who's a first time listener will surely come away with this with no prior,
Yes. And that's all right. Season. But honestly, good for the Vikings for being so much better than anyone projected. Honestly, and part of that is because the quarterback plans didn't go according to plan. They drafted J.J. McCarthy. He gets hurt out for the year. And so y'all are stuck with Sam Darnold, and Sam Darnold has been much better than Sam Darnold has ever been. Tell me about Darnold's season, because I from what I've watched, I haven't watched really any of the Vikings games this season. They don't normally play over here. He has always been mistake prone. The talent, the question of talent was never an issue. It was always mistakes. He turns the ball over, he fumbles it, he throws interceptions. I know he went a good long while without throwing any interceptions, but what's different about him this year than in previous stops?
I think the biggest thing is, and the mistakes are still there, but I've joked that he's turned from that boxer who's afraid to get punched to now, okay, I need to get hit in the mouth one time, and then I'm ready, and I know I'm in a fight, and then he can kind of adapt from there. So every week, first quarter, there's usually some sort of, oh God, here we go again type of play. And last week he had one. It was called back on a penalty. It was an interception in the end zone. And a couple weeks ago, there was another one on an opening drive. And every week, or they get dropped or whatever. But no, I think Kevin O'Connell, and he says he doesn't have a script, which I thought was insane.
Because everything the first part of the game? That's wild.
He doesn't use scripts at all, he said. As someone who, what I got to love the quarterback position was from Bruce Arians, where it was like, we're going to have structure. We're going to have, like, you pick your first 10 plays, and then I go from there. And, Kevin's very much a free spirit in that sense, as he announced. But
how do they know what they're going to do at the beginning of the game? Nah.
And I think that's where the punch in the mouth comes from. It's funny, because you would think, another running joke is, if you told Vikings fans before the year that you're going to bring Daniel Jones in before Thanksgiving, you'd think, oh my God, how bad is the season going?
Oh, geez, yeah.
And now it's like, no, it's just insurance on insurance at that point. But no, he had a couple rough stretch weeks this past couple weeks. These last 2 weeks, I have really gotten back to what we saw the first 5 weeks of the season. After the London, he ate something bad, a time change, master clone, just something was not right. Maybe seeing that old logo across from him. But it just the last 2 weeks, and I think last week specifically with the Bears, I think was the best game he's ever played in his career. He was the reason, hands down, they won that game, because it very easily could have slipped through. I think with 6 minutes left, the ESPN percentage predictor had him at 99.6% guaranteed to win the game. And they went to overtime, and obviously still pulled it out. But
I could not believe that, because I was sitting on my computer. I was getting ready for the Cardinals game to start, and I was looking at a couple of things, and I saw that Minnesota was up by 11, that Kansas City was up by 11, and And then, like, oh, okay, going according to plan. And then all of a sudden, it says overtime? I was like, what just happened? And this is all before the Cardinals played. And I look at, like, they scored 11 points in 22 seconds. What kind of a world is this? And Arnold, they took care of things and they won in overtime. You know, it was that, and the same thing with the Chiefs. It was almost like much ado about nothing. Oh, so they gave up those points, tied the game, and then it didn't matter because, you know, the Chiefs went down and kicked a field goal for the win. Darnold let him in overtime. And that was on top of seeing the end of that Commanders Cowboys game. That game was out of this world.
Yeah.
Holy cow. You probably missed out on that because you were watching this game. But that ending was the wildest thing I had ever seen because, you know, you've got the kickoff return for a touchdown, and then you've got the...
Which was hilarious. I was like, this is how they screw this up, is he's going to return it, give him the ball back. And I was like, oh, boy. But nope, McCarthy pulled it out. Now he's up for an extension. So all's good in Cowboy land.
It's wild. It's wild. You know? But, hey, Cowboys going to Cowboy. And they're going to – we'll see what happens with them. Then we're not here to talk about the Cowboys. We're going to talk about the Vikings. Sam Darnold having as good a year as he's ever had. 21 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. You'd probably say that the turnovers are a tad high, but when you've got 21 touchdown passes to go with it, you're probably going to live with that. You're getting good play from Aaron Jones, whom the Packers decided to just, we're going to give up on him. Now, granted, Josh Jacobs has been fantastic. Aaron Jones with nearly 800 yards and 3 touchdowns. In fact, he's already got over 1,000 yards from scrimmage. And, of course, can't ever forget about Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison, the guys that y'all have over there. TJ Hockenson. Is there any weakness to this offense?
The guard position at this point. They've had a revolving door there with Ed Ingram and Dalton Risner at right guard. But, I mean, really, other than that, no. To keep it short.
That's great.
Aaron Jones had a rough week last week. Not the Giants game, but the Titans game. But running against the behemoths of DeVondre Sweat and Jeffrey Simmons, and that defense is really, really good. It was going to be a tough task, but yeah, no, I mean, Aaron Jones, I've been hyping him up in articles every week. He's been my offensive MVP because so often you see a veteran running back, and he's not even like that old to begin with, but still, just you see a team get rid of a franchise back, you usually think, oh, they know something nobody else does, and you don't expect them to do much, unless the Saquon Barkley thing, which is the joke that just keeps on giving at this point, but we're going to stay with this again before we get off topic. But yeah, no, I had very low expectations. I was like, it's going to be a one-stop shop here. It's going to be kind of like what Dalvin Cook was to so many other teams. And no, Jones, I think the reason he has so much trust and fun in this, and that way the dog's contributing, so much trust with this team is he's a leader in the locker room, but he blocks his you-know-what off. And I think that's something for a team, especially that still uses fullback so often, relies on that added security for their quarterback. And plus Jones in the locker room, like I said, he's the leader of the Kyrie Jackson tributes. They do every game. They make sure there's flowers in the locker. He leads that. He meets with his family before games. And he's come in day one and really made a big impact. And I think that is invaluable. And he's on a one-year deal. I'm interested to see what they do with him. I would imagine they try to bring him back. Maybe they draft somebody else because they have Cam Akers behind him who has flashed some, but he's obviously been around the league for a while in different spots. But, yeah, no, this offense is – as long as Sam Darnold's okay between the ears, it hums. So it's really just the only person that's proven to stop them at this point is themselves.
Yeah.
And even when they do that, they win.
So yeah, they're 10th in yards, 9th in scoring. And then on the other side of the ball, they're 5th in points allowed, giving up only 17.9 per game in total defense. They are 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So they're top 10 offense, top 10 defense, top 10 in both yards and points in both sides. Defense, and I get, I you look at the numbers and it makes sense that they're as good as they are. Do you think that, here's just a hypothetical, do you think it would have been this good if it had been JJ McCarthy all year?
I think so. I think Darnold's not doing anything crazy in terms of, and see, now I have this washer digging, and I told myself it'd be when I talk is when this thing would go off. No, I think it would be the same thing where very conservative play calling. He's not going to push the ball down the field too much. That's the other thing, too, with having Jefferson and Addison. They're not taking a lot of big chances. Last week, he had two receptions, one for 40-some yards, and the other one for 69 yards. And that was really the most explosive pass plays they've had in a couple weeks. But, no, I think it would still be the same. I think the turnovers would either be about the same, maybe a little bit better. I think you'd have even more usage for Aaron Jones and Cam Akers, if anything. But I think this is kind of what the offense is going to look like going forward, even with McCarthy. So I think it's about the same at this point.
The defensive side of the ball has been fantastic, especially with the pass rush. How good has been the Brian Flores defense been? Obviously, the numbers are there. You've got Jonathan Grenard and Andrew Van Ginkel, each with 9 sacks. Van Ginkel also, who apparently is a pick six guru. He loves to get the pick sixes. Add Patrick Jones with 7 sacks. It turns out that basically the swap of Jonathan Grenard and Daniil Hunter is working out pretty well for both teams.
Yeah, Hunter is playing very well for Houston, and then obviously Grenard's playing well for Minnesota. But no, Van Ginkel, like you talked about, on offense, I highlighted Aaron Jones being the MVP. I think Van Ginkel's not getting enough attention, even in Minnesota. I mean, the hair gets everyone to look at him, and the blonde will remind everybody of a Clay Matthews type, but
I
think he nationally deserves even more attention. He's a disruptor. When they were having injuries at middle linebacker with Blake Cashman and Ivan Pace earlier in the year, they put Van Ginkel at middle linebacker and had him filling in there. So he's a jack of all trades for this defense, and his contract is an absolute steal for what they're paying him. But yeah, him and Grenard coming off the edge, teams are just having to pick and choose who they go after. And then that also is freeing up, like you mentioned, Pat Jones, who has a career high in sacks already. Andrew Van Ginkel has a career high in sacks this year. Dallas Turner is slowly earning the trust of Brian Flores. He hasn't been playing as much as everyone expected, but when you have those three names in front of you, it's hard to get meaningful reps as a rookie. So, it's a wait and see with Dallas Turner. But yeah, no, the edge is definitely where this defense is getting the pass rush going, and it's helping out the secondary, which doesn't have a lot of big names, or honestly, even the coverage has been iffy at times. But when you're rushing the passer and you're forcing Aaron passes, you're able to take advantage of it. So yeah, for sure, the edges are definitely making a difference.
Ivan Pace goes down to IR. How's that going to impact this game and in the weeks to come?
I think Pace is, ironically, like we just talked about the pass rush, I think that's where Pace has made the biggest inroads and the biggest difference on defense this year for the Vikings, where all summer he talked about wanting to earn the mic role, and he didn't. Cashman earned it, and Cashman has shown why he earned it, because the two games he missed are the two losses they have on the year. So as long as Blake Cashman's playing, they're undefeated. But Pace has definitely been more of a free spirit on defense. He could play outside, he could play inside. Obviously, he was a UDFA last year and made the team, and then he's obviously made a big role on this team now. I think it'll be just felt a little bit more in like some different pass rush schemes. He has a couple coverage plays here and there, a defensive touchdown to his credit this year against the Lions that made that a game at the end. So it's really more, he brings a spark that'll be missed, but I think the team's deep enough. Asamoah, Grugier Hill, I think they're going to fill in just fine.
The kicking situation, you've had a couple of kickers this year. What is it? Is Rashard healthy, and has he been reliable this year?
he's been great, honestly. And the only times he's missed again has been when he was injured in the Jacksonville game, and he went on IR after that. But yeah, Will Reichard got hurt in the Jacksonville game. Those were his only misses on the year. They signed John Parker Romo, who lost the kicking job to Reichard after the first day of training camp in the summer, ironically. But he said he was staying sharp on an Arkansas high school field. And he's looked just as good the first kick, I think everybody held their breath on. But no, for a team that has a history of, oh God, we have to kick a field goal here,
it was not long ago when the Cardinals picked up a win thanks to a Greg Joseph missed field goal at the end of the game.
Exactly. Yeah, and him going to the Packers, I think, was perfect justice if you're a Vikings fan looking at it. But yeah, no, it's been a pretty reliable thing. Special teams has been really nice as a unit, too. Like, O'Connell's got himself one hell of a staff, like top to bottom. So special teams, especially in the kicking area, has been pretty reliable for once.
Coming up next on the Rise of Syria podcast, Mr. Cardinals Talk on the Web. Let's look at this game specifically, the matchups that we like, the matchups we don't. It's coming next on Rise of Syria. We're back on the Rise of Syria podcast, Mr. Cardinals Talk on the Web, talking to Andrew Harbaugh from the Vikings Wire. Now at the point where we look at the matchups of this game. And how do you feel in general about how the Cardinals and how the Vikings match up against this Cardinals team, which you look at it, okay, it's there's definitely weaknesses, but you've seen the four-game winning streak. You saw three straight games of 28 or more points. The run games can be really good, and Kyler has had some really, really lights-out passing games. How do you feel that the Cardinals match up in terms of offense-defense against Minnesota?
I think it can definitely be an interesting one. I wrote about it today when I was talking about five keys. That I think this game's going to be a lot closer and a lot more fun than people realize. I mean, the Cardinals are trying to win the NFC West. It's a very tough division any year, but a lot of teams are kind of clustered towards the top. So, like, this game means as much to them as it does the Vikings, who are also trying to win their division. They can't afford to lose a single game the rest of the year if they want to have a chance at the NFC North the way the Lions are playing, especially having lost the one game earlier this year. But no, I think it's going to be a very fun matchup. I wish it would have got flexed to a national.
You know, it probably should have. But, yeah. You know, Sunday games are fine, honestly.
It's the Bo Nix effect. Didn't think it happened, but the Bo Nix effect's playing a role. But yeah, no, I think it's going to be a very, very fun matchup. And I'm really excited. I won't skip too far ahead, but like, I'm interested to see how Kyler does. Especially Marvin Harrison Jr. Against that secondary, what Brian Flores does. There's a lot to watch with it.
And, well, how has Byron Murphy been? It's been a couple of years since he was here in Arizona, but how's Murphy been for Minnesota?
He's been good. He, at one point, said he was trying to get 10 interceptions on the year because he had a bit of a hot streak. And since he said that, he has cooled down tremendously. But, I mean, I think he'll be motivated going against his former team. That's something else I wrote about today for players to watch piece. I said, I think he's going to have a little bit of a chip on his shoulder, especially lining up, I think, across from Marvin Harrison Jr. and getting one picked off of Kyler, I think would also mean a lot to him too and be a good laugh in hindsight. But
yeah,
no, he's been reliable. He's going to be a free agent at the end of the year. I'm interested to see what the team does. I definitely think he has a place with Flores. If he doesn't get a head coaching job, I think would love to have him back. I think that would be the biggest determining factor. But yeah, no, he's been very, very good this year. And I think last year was a bit of a growing up year with him in that system of Flores. I think history has shown that Flores is an acquired taste if you're going to coach or play for him.
Yes, he is.
And I think Murphy bought into it this year. And I think the results are speaking for themselves.
Minnesota is number one against the run in terms of yards per game. And also number two in yards per rushing attempt. How do you think that will hold up against James Conner and the run game for the Cardinals, who, aside from two games this year, really has been able to run the ball really well? They were shut down completely by Seattle, and they were slowed by Miami, but that's when Kyler had one of his finest performances in his career.
Yeah, that's definitely, again, I think it's one of those things where if you stop the run, then you got to stop Kyler, because it seems like with you guys, it's either one's picking up the slack for the other, or if you're on a good enough day, both are firing on all cylinders. I think the Vikings run defense can definitely hold up. Harrison Phillips, ironically, Jerry Tillery, Jalen Redmond, who was a UDFA, has been playing very well in the middle. Jonathan Bullard, we're getting a lot of good snaps out of. All these are names that nobody outside of the state of Minnesota knows, and that's fine. I think that's how they prefer it if you're the Vikings. But like I mentioned with, see, the dogs are coming out here when we're talking about the run game. Blake Cashman's really the catalyst. As long as he's playing, I have complete and utter faith in them to stop the run. The two games he missed, like I talked about, they lost. Opposing teams ran for over 300 yards combined against the Vikings. In all the games afterwards and earlier, then it is a lot less than that. So that is the biggest thing, is just Cashman being in the lineup gives me a lot of faith to be able to control everything.
What are the matchups where you're most excited to watch, and what are the ones where maybe you're a little bit concerned about?
I'm interested to see Trey McBride, who I loved coming out of Colorado State. I'm interested to see how, for the record, he is playing, right? I did not look at that before I talking. But yeah, no, I think it's going to be interesting to see who everyone who's not named Marvin Harrison Jr. plays. I think that's going to be the biggest thing, and Flores is going to focus on, okay, I got a rookie I can take advantage of, and he's going to show him stuff that he's never seen before scheme wise. And then also too, I think being able to contain Kyler, I think that's going to be Blake Cashman's job, because he also does really well blitzing. I think that's going to be the biggest matchup, is just kind of seeing who gets in charge of watching Kyler, and then who makes plays for the Cardinals outside of Marvin Harrison Jr. Whether it be James Conner out of the backfield catching a run on the ball, whether it be McBride or anybody else. That's what I think is going to be the potential Achilles heel if you're the Vikings defense going against this Cardinals offense.
I haven't seen the injury report. What is the situation with Cam Robinson?
He hurt his foot, and they said it was something similar to what he had suffered earlier in the year with the Jaguars, and he was able to play through. I haven't heard much. He was limited in practice today. And it's tough on Wednesdays, because O'Connell will have names pop up on a Wednesday where you're like, oh my God, the sky's gonna fall in Minneapolis. And then you get to Friday and there's nobody on the list. So it's hard to say. For sure, see, offensive line, we got more dogs barking. But the Cam Robinson situation is definitely one to watch. His backup, David Questenberry, honestly, is about as reliable as Cam Robinson. And Cam Robinson's not been what Darisaw is. I mean, who is? But is going to be very interesting to see, because I think, again, Darius Robinson for the Cardinals is on pace to make his first appearance of the year.
We're crossing our fingers. We're hoping that happens.
I think that would be a matchup, if you're talking about them, is one that could potentially be taken advantage of if you're Darius Robinson, where they haven't seen him yet play, and Cam Robinson potentially is either A, playing injured, or you're playing the backup to the backup for the left tackle for the Vikings. So it could be a good matchup for the Cardinals defensive front.
Well, of the number of sacks the Cardinals have this year, 11 have come in two games when they were facing backup tackles. So they're not great at the pass rush. Last week they had five. That was almost an anomaly. But when they said they've taken advantage when they've had backup tackles in there. I wouldn't call, like, technically Robinson is a backup tackle, but he was acquired to be a starter when, obviously Darisaw went down. So
Right.
how do you feel this Minnesota offense matches up against Arizona's defense, which, overall, the defense allowed 10 points because they scored 16, but they had one was off the defense scored. So they've allowed 10 points. They've allowed 9 points. They've allowed 6 points in their last three games. They don't have anyone particularly fantastic in the sack department. They aren't great against the run, but have been solid against the run, and they haven't been killed by big time receivers. Like, it's basically they these big name receivers, they're holding them to modest numbers at best. How do you think the Minnesota offense will fare against this sort of ragtag bunch of defenders in here against the Cardinals?
I think, and this is another thing too, the Vikings, you'd think with all these names, you just come out the gates firing at all cylinders, and they really haven't this year. The first round is very much, okay, let's throw some jabs and kind of gauge the distance and how this offense and defense matchup's going to go. I think it could be unique enough of one where I could see them getting a little too ahead of themselves, having a slow start. They've been really explosive in the second half is where they've kind of made their bread and butter. So I think it could come down to who makes the better halftime adjustments. But no, I mean, Jacksonville held them to 12 points, and that defense is giving that entire team the number one pick in the draft this year. So you force turnovers on Darnold, anything's possible. Like I said, despite all the names you led with at the beginning on offense, it's a who's who if you're playing fantasy football or Madden. But no, I think it's going to be probably a lot closer than people would think. It'd be a lot more interesting. Maybe not the high scoring affair that some people may think, or depending on what the over under is, if you look at any books. But no, I think it's going to just make for a really good football game. And I know I'm sounding like the circus salesman now at this point, but
watch the game. Watch the game. Yes.
Well, if I wasn't the game, I would be watching it even if I wasn't getting paid to watch it. It'd be one of those matchups I just search out for. But no, I think the Cardinals defense, even with the ragtag group and the lack of production and the sack department, and I think there could be enough X factors at play on both sides that make it a lot closer than one could potentially imagine.
Defensively, create a lot of turnovers. They've had a takeaway in every single game this season, and multiple takeaways in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of their 11 games. However, they have only won their turnover battle 1, 2, 3, 4 times this season, because apparently the offense likes to turn it over. Although yeah, at least one turnover in each of the last four games, three in their wins against Indy and Jacksonville, three against Green Bay, two each against the Jets, Giants, and 49ers. I'm guessing this will be kind of a key, but it apparently that the ball, like Jonathan Gannon preaches that the ball is everything. It seems that the Vikings are surviving even when they don't win the turnover battle a lot.
Yeah, it's one of those things where they, like you mentioned, they force enough of it. I think it covers up those mistakes when they have it. Prime example, like this past week, Aaron Jones' opening drive has 50-some yards rushing on like three carries, and he's breaking one to the outside, and you're like, okay, we're going to have a score here, and then he fumbles it. So even Aaron Jones is having fumbling issues when he hasn't in the past. Darnold, you talked about with the 10 interceptions. Overall, if you add in his fumbles, he was leading the NFL with turnovers. And the defense, like you talked about Van Ginkle with the pick sixes, Ivan Pace Jr. has had some defensive touchdowns. That's really making the difference where whether it be late in the game, they get a turnover on a drive where a team needs a score. The Jets game is a good example of that. That's Gilmore's lone interception on the year. Or Cameron Bynum's made a couple big plays towards the end of the game. Harrison Smith last week made one as well. They seem to pull a lot of rabbits out of hats, and they only have so much room in the hat for rabbits. And I think we're getting low on rabbits, and you don't want to mess around with that. But no, it's definitely you live by the sword, die by the sword, and the sword's on fire, and they're playing with it at this point. And 1 week, it's going to catch up to them. It's just a matter of when.
Well, I'm secretly hoping that this is the week that it does, because a win over Minnesota, the Cardinals do not have. The three wild card teams right now, Washington, Minnesota, and Washington. Green Bay. They already lost to Washington. They already lost to Green Bay. It's coming very close to be the only way that they could possibly make the playoffs would be winning the division, because they're not going to have a, like, if they lose to the Vikings, they won't have a head-to-head over any of those teams. And, you know, if they win, things are much more interesting. I wish they would have won last week. You know, getting 2 out of 3.
Yeah, that was a heartbreaker.
Yeah, that was disappointing. But, you know, after, like, it, I guess it's hard to expect your team to win 5 in a row when they've already won 4 in a row. That seems greedy, but you're like, but it would have made life so much easier. Let's talk predictions. Coming up next on the Rise Up Sierra podcast, the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web, we move on to the picks and predictions part of our show. That's coming up next on Rise Up Sierra. Back on the Rise Up Sierra podcast, the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web, talking to Andrew Harbaugh from the Vikings Wire, managing editor over there. And we will defer to that old show back in July, I think it was, maybe August, to talk about, you know, predictions for how he thought the season was going to go. But we will talk about what he thinks this game will be like and who will come away victorious. How do you see this game playing out?
I think, like I said earlier, I think it's going to be a closer matchup than a lot of people would originally, if you look at it on paper, would be. Definitely, I think in the summer, I thought it was going to be Cardinals just beating us with a hammer over the head. But no, I think it's going to come down to, like you said, turnover battle. I think it's going to be a big thing. I also think who's going to be able to make the plays in the second half, because like I said, the Vikings have not been a first half team. They're very much a let's make adjustments and go from there. Also, too, the Cardinals have a lot of playmakers to handle. Last week, Bears shut down Justin Jefferson, holding with 27 yards, but Jordan Addison has 160. Hawkinson had almost 110. And Aaron Jones had 100 yards on the ground. So it's one of those things where you cut one head off, you got three more popping up in its place. I think because of that, I think the Vikings are able to pull one out here. But like I said, I think it's going to be much closer than people think. Maybe you get like a 28-24 scenario going on.
And ultimately, you feel the Vikings will come away victorious in this case, picking up their fifth straight win.
I do. I think they... As much as they don't want to admit it, I think they're aware of what the Lions are doing ahead of them. I think it's hard for anyone
to notice. Hard not to notice. What the heck, Detroit? Like, the only thing about that, I know, in the NFC North, you're like, Lions. The rest of the NFL are like, the Lions, look at what they're doing. And you worry about, are they gonna be playing too well, have a bye, and then fall flat on their face because Jared Goff's going to have his Jared Goof day instead of a Jared Goat day? I don't know.
It's tough, yeah. And again, we've gotten off topic a lot, but it's I don't watch a lot of post game speeches from coaches because usually it's a lot of the same rah rah, you did great, here's a game ball type stuff. I watch Dan Campbell's, my foot's going up and down. I'm sitting there, eyes wide, like, okay, I'm ready to just run through a wall for this guy. And I think that's what the entire NFL sees happening. Like, it doesn't just get that way. Like, he's been working on that for years, and I think obviously every team's pursuing that same thing. But yeah, no, the Vikings know they've got a juggernaut ahead of them, and they've got a rematch. That's the last game of the year for the Vikings. So they know to win the division, they've got, and they would get a bye at that point, I would assume, if you win the NFC North. I think whoever does gets that, but I think
Philly might have the Phillies rolling, so it'll be interesting to see how that goes.
But yeah, I think they know what they're up against, and they've got to get a win. And I think that 2-game skid they had, one of them was to the Lions, and I think winning Jacksonville was a big okay, we can win ugly if we have to type of scenario. And I think that really showed a lot for this team too.
And I don't have any reason to believe it, but the Cardinals in general. Come back from losses and bounce back. And so for anything else, maybe it's just the homer in me. I think it's going to be a real close game, and I'm predicting 23-21 last minute win of some sort, whether it's a touchdown, whether it's a field goal. But I don't have any reason matchup-wise to believe that the Cardinals are going to win, but I think they've got some of that magic in there for this week. motivated by and with a increased amount of focus after disappointing against the Seahawks. So we will see. Would it surprise me if Vikings won? Not at all. Would I be surprised if the Cardinals won? Yeah, a little bit, but that's my prediction right now. I think 23-21 thriller down to the end, and we'll be biting our nails. And thank goodness we don't have real deadlines when it comes to filing stories. We just get them up when we're done, because deadline life wouldn't be very fun on a game like that.
And I think, too, just a fun little nugget I thought of just now, because my phone lit up because a buddy asked me to do this, is Call of Duty's having double XP this weekend. And Tyler's undefeated on double XP weekends in his career. So I'm the Vikings guy throwing that out to motivate the Cardinals fans listening. So
when the new game dropped this year, everyone talked about, Kyler had his game against Miami. And, people have been making jokes about Kyler and Call of Duty now for years. But, yeah, I can't wait to see this game. I just want it to be competitive. Looking like the game last week, the game that the Cardinals have. And I know the Vikings don't want to go through another game that they had, so where they're winning handily and they give it up at the end. So I'm all for – now, if the Cardinals are down by 10 and then come back and win, okay, I'll accept that. But I would like a back and forth or highly competitive game on either way, because, these are two, Minnesota's going to be in the postseason. We'd like to believe that the Cardinals are on track for the postseason if things play out the way they need to. So they could be seeing each other again. And plus, you know what? The Cardinals haven't won in Minnesota in your lifetime. In fact, the last time they won in Minnesota was when I was a few months old, in 1977. In November of 1977, I was less than a year old. That is way too long to not have won in Minneapolis. So it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Maybe it'll happen this Sunday.
And one last vote of confidence, too, just to make a baseball analogy. While we're doing all the analogies, Vikings, like I named all that high-powered offense that was last week, your Cardinals are coming off 6 points against the Seahawks. Usually the team that blows out the other team in baseball kind of lays an egg the next week, and the other one that got shut out, kind of the bats get awakened a little bit. I think that's a potential. Again, still would be a close game, but I think I see more – ways the Cardinals win this at this point, even with the Vikings being on the heater they're on, which again makes this a much more interesting game, a lot more of a prove it game for the Vikings on their end. And then same for the Cardinals going to 7-5 versus 6-6, a really big difference.
Yes, it
heading
is.
Into December.
Absolutely. And with that, we will wrap up this edition of the Rise of Syria podcast, Mr. Cardinals Talk on the Web. We know that the game won't be largely – actually, let me check it out. Let's see. Well, actually, this game will get big coverage. So there will be a lot of people who get to watch it. It is the largest Sunday game that Fox has, so –
And it got Greg Olson, most importantly.
Yeah, that's way better than the Adam Amin Mark Sanchez group. That was
and Tom Brady.
I don't mind Tom Brady, honestly. I don't mind.
Agree to disagree.
But with that, we'll wrap up this edition of the show. Check out Andrew's stuff over at the Vikings Wire. You can he has great Vikings coverage over Cards Wire as well. We will have our Behind Enemy Lines content for each other for our sites later in the week. This is episode 619. We'll be back again. Seth and I maybe have a show later in the week to do our preview, but with the holidays, we'll wait and see. Thanks for listening. As always, we'll be back again soon.
Thanks for listening to the latest edition of the Rise Up Sea Red podcast. Listen to previous episodes and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Audioboom, or many other podcast platforms, so shows are delivered directly to your mobile device. Please give the show a 5-star rating and always support the sponsors who support the show. We'll be back soon for the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Rise up, Red Sea, be Red Sea Red, and of course, rise up, Sea Red.
Roll!